aprenderás sobre la excitante industria de ingresos recurrentes con software, historias de fundadores de empresas de software, tips de internet marketing y recomendaciones de apps para crecer tu negocio. Soy Jorge Díaz y te doy la bienvenida al podcast de Software como Servicio. Hello, honey. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Jorge. Awesome to be here.
Thank you. Well, this podcast is for the Latin American market, for the Spanish market, and I invited you because you have a great solution for content creators. So, do you have a favorite quote that inspired you and motivates you?
There's a lot. I can't remember the exact words, but there is something along the lines of be a person of value. Something along, I think it's an Albert Einstein quote. I have very bad memory, but basically the idea is to be somebody of value who offers value and helps people. And, you know, whether it's me, our business, our company, I always feel like that's what we believe in, helping people as much as we can through our software, through one-on-one, helping friends. That's always just kind of been the thing. For me personally, it's just, I like to help people.
Yes. So what gets you out of bed to create?
Just seeing an idea in your head and then seeing it, you know, mock up and seeing it come to life and then seeing users getting feedback. That's my, like, that's what drives me personally. Like when I see people getting back to us, giving us feedback of, oh, your tool helps us with this, or we save so much time. That's, to me, more rewarding than the money, right? So to me, it's just feedback is more important. Like, and plus with our platform, I feel like there's no limit, which is also exciting. Like we have so many ideas and we have so many things you can do. It just, you know, it feels like anything is possible. And I love that feeling. Yes. That's what gets me excited.
And you're a content creator, right? You like to share what you know and help people.
What's your experience with content creation? Yeah, I started blog before I did any software. I started video blogging on YouTube, like doing video blogs on YouTube and then putting them on my website probably like around 8 or 9 years ago. And I just always loved video. I was teaching people about video. Even as a kid, I used to always love video editing and taking all the family videos and put them together. It's always fun. And then we sit down, we all watch the video at the end. And again, people are like, oh, wow, this is so nice. That's, you know, the feedback that you get when you're creating something and you get good feedback. I love blogging. I love teaching people about video. And then it evolved into, I have a computer engineering background. So One day I just decided, you know what, like I love video and I have some software skills. Let's create a software for video. And that's how it started. It was just, you know, doing it and then thinking about how can I do things in a more automated way. And then I built my first WordPress plugin with the help of somebody. And that's how it got started. Just automating a few things slowly. And then we are now with the repurposed platform. It's, you know, evolution takes time. So, yeah, I solved my own problem to start. That's really what I'm trying to say. Is that we started by making tools for me as a content creator. How can I automate some of my steps that I do manually?
Yes. So let's go a little bit deep into what repurposed solve, like in a little nugget.
Yeah. So repurpose is a content repurposing platform. So it's focused on audio, video, or live streaming. And the idea is you create the content once and you can turn that into 25, 26, 27 different pieces of content and publish them to different platforms. And so that's what our software does. It automates that step into turning into turning the one content into multiple pieces and also automatically publishing them to different platforms as much as we can.
Yes. For example, just to share like the process of Software como Servicio podcast, I record this like for YouTube. Then I record the audio for the
Spotify and all the podcast platforms. Then I create a headliner video. There, it's a software as a service called headliner.app. And that piece of software I post in like Instagram and many places. And with your tool, it's like you record the audio and it creates the content automatically with a little configuration by your part or my part, right? Mm-hmm. Like a template, you have templates for the video that comes from your audio.
Exactly. Yeah, which that's one example of for podcasters. We turn the audio into video. You can design your template or pick one of our templates, and then and you pick what size you want, vertical or square or horizontal, and then you can even schedule directly from our platform. So you can schedule to go on Twitter on Monday, you know, 1 minute clip on Twitter on Monday, or the full episode on Tuesday on YouTube, you know, five clips on Facebook. You can configure, it's almost like a rule. You set up all the rules and then you can decide where the content goes and when it goes on different platforms.
Yes. I recently automated a little bit with Zapier and mm-hmm. the podcast, because when I publish them in my podcast platform, I upload the title of the podcast, the description, then it creates a Zap that goes into my newsletter software or email software, and it creates like a go to the podcast of this week in Friday. Oh, you're nice. A little bit like Zapier. You were telling
me. Yeah. I mean, I was inspired. I love Zapier. I was inspired when we created Repurpose. I liked the model of Zapier where you can set rules. You say when this happens or when a new episode shows up, do this, convert it into a video, and then send it here. So there's almost three things you decide. Where are you starting from and what the action is, whether it's convert the video to audio or audio to video or, you know, resize the video, whatever you want to do. And then the third step is send it to this platform and upload to YouTube, upload to Twitter, to LinkedIn, to, you know, wherever you wanted to go. So yeah, we're definitely inspired by Zapier. I love Zapier. So we kind of built it as almost like the Zapier, but focused strictly on content. So it's for Zapier for content creators, especially audio and video.
That's a good tagline, but you promote the competition.
Yeah, so, exactly. Can't really put Zapier in our tagline, but yeah, we're big fans of Zapier, absolutely.
Yes, but in the news you see like the Uber of house cleaning or whatever.
That's true. You're right. So maybe we should try that.
Only in PR marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And do you consider Repurpose that can be categorized in the no-code movement? Do you know that?
The
no-code movement?
Yeah, I mean, we were discussing, you and I, before the interview. Yeah, I consider it no-code because you can do things, go from here to here and do some actions in the middle by setting up rules in a platform without touching any code. You can make videos out of audios. You can resize videos, make them vertical, etc. So yeah, I consider it no code. It's a kind of an extension of no code because you can do things without code, just a few clicks.
Yes, that's interesting. The video that is like, I don't know, like this that we are recording now for YouTube or something. You can put it in a format like Instagram story, right?
Mm-hmm. We can make it vertical. We can make it square. You choose what you want and what it looks like. And actually, we're releasing in a few weeks, maybe in a month or so. It's in beta right now, the ability to design your own templates. So when you resize it, you can design, brand your own templates and make them look really nice, put your logo on them. And then we also burn the captions as well. So we put a title on the top, video, and then captions on the bottom.
That's interesting. I like the transcription space because that creates a lot of SEO value for your post if you post your content mm-hmm. on your blog. But there's not a lot of solutions in Spanish, like Spanish transcription. Mm-hmm. Maybe
interesting.
Maybe we forced you to put it in.
Yeah, so we have a different angle. To be honest, we take a different approach for transcriptions because we're not experts in transcription. Mm-hmm. So we're like we said earlier, we're like Zapier. Our job is to connect this platform with this platform, right? So we're not the experts in AI and transcription and stuff. So what we do is we take advantage of Facebook's transcription. So Facebook has free transcriptions on your Facebook page. Any video you upload, it will transcribe for you. It's pretty good. I don't know about Spanish. I haven't done videos in Spanish, but for the most part, it's good. You can fix it on Facebook. And then what our software does is it will take the captions from Facebook and then burn them into the video for you. So we don't actually have an engine for transcriptions. We have an ability to take captions from Facebook and burn them into your video. And if you don't like Facebook's transcriptions, you have another service or you pay a company to transcribe for you, you can upload that to Facebook. And then our platform can repurpose it from Facebook and put it into your video automatically. So we're not into that. You know, I feel like every SaaS has its own specialty, right? Our specialty is connecting services and doing some transformations. This whole transcription space, there's a lot of companies that do an amazing job. One of my favorites is Otter. I don't know if you've played with Otter.
Yes.
I'm not sure how good it is in different languages, but in English, it's fair. It does a really good job. It's by far my favorite automated one for sure.
They only do English.
Yes. So whatever service you end up using, even if you pay somebody to transcribe for you, you can upload that captions file to Facebook, and then using our platform, we'll burn it right into the video for you. So that's the approach we took. But in the future, we don't know. Maybe we'll integrate different APIs or different services to add transcription. But it's hard to try to do everything really well. So we're trying to focus on what we know and what we're comfortable with.
Yeah, another great function. Like, you are like in the space of promoting content creators, like podcasters, live streamers, or people that share information online. I think it's mainly coaches and marketers, right? Content creators.
Yeah, coaches. I mean, most any business really that puts content online, but you're right. Mostly people who are putting content are the ones that have a coaching business or they're doing marketing for their product or service by putting content out, especially video content.
Yes, and the reason why I'm saying this is because I saw you integrate with a software as a service called Designer.
Mm-hmm.
You can create ebooks and like Amazon Kindle ebooks, like with transcription, right?
Yeah. So yeah, they reached out to us. The founder reached out to me. We had a good conversation, and we did an integration together. So that you can get a video from anywhere. We put it into a folder in Dropbox. They'll transcribe it, turn it into an ebook. So we make that process seamless between our two platforms. And we're always looking. We love to integrate. It really repurposes. We love to integrate and connect two services together. So if in the future we might connect transcription services automatically, we might connect other platforms, anything we can connect together to make to save you one step from you clicking here to click here, just to automate that step. That's our focus, especially when it comes to video and audio.
Yeah, that's interesting for info product creators. Mm-hmm. That if you create a video, you can have like the workbook or a lead magnet or a blog post. Well, blog post, you can do it with Otter or other transcription services, but if you want the design of an ebook or an Amazon Kindle and more, that's a good integration. I found that interesting.
Designer is a very good tool. It's a very nice tool. Yeah. So there's so much you can do.
And how did you came up with the idea to create Repurpose?
To be honest, it was our users, and they told us. We started creating automation tools in WordPress. So our first software we ever created was take a video from YouTube. Every time you put a video on YouTube, it automatically puts it on your blog. You'll make a blog post, automatically embed the video for you, the title, description. And I created that because I was putting videos every week on YouTube, and I have to go to my blog and make a new post and copy the embed code. And though it sounds like it's 5 minutes, but if you do this every day or twice a week, three times a week, it's a waste of time. So we made a tool that would just, every time you post on your own channel, it would just boom, blog post, video, everything's there.
I do that every week.
Yeah, it's annoying. Right? Yes. So we have a WordPress plugin. It's like $39. Anyway, so we have a tool that does that. And then when we released that, that was like 8 years ago. Podcasting was becoming a lot more popular. And then we said, okay, let's make the same tool for podcasting. Publish an episode to your podcast feed, automatically create a web a WordPress post. And then we have our own audio player as well, so that a nice audio player shows up. So that was great. And then a year later, Facebook Live was becoming popular. So same thing, go live on Facebook, embed the replay, video, title, description. So we were always repurposing audio and video to your blog. And then as our user base grew, they told us, listen, I love this. I love the automation. It saves me so much time. But can you take my podcast and convert it into a video and put it on YouTube? Or can you take my Facebook Live when I'm done and then send a copy to YouTube? And our first answer was no, it's not possible to do that in WordPress. And then as more and more people asked, we said, we need to build something. We need to build a solution. And that's how Repurpose was born. It's just out of users asking, can you automate even more and go further, like go beyond WordPress?
Yes. It's interesting. And how do you got started, like promoting the platform? You already sold the WordPress plugins.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. How do you started the whole thing, like putting content out, then you built an audience, or how was that?
Este podcast está patrocinado por De Cero a MVP. Gracias por escuchar mi podcast. Hoy puedes aprender a cómo vender por internet tu producto, servicio, app o curso en línea. Deja que tus clientes voten con su cartera y prevende antes de crear tu negocio. Te mostraré cómo crear tu sitio web sin saber programar para prevender tu idea de negocios fácilmente y recibir ventas por internet. Valida tu idea de negocios sin perder tiempo y dinero. Entra en cursos.softwarecomoservicio.com para registrarte en el curso en línea hoy.
So it started with, I didn't know what we were doing with the plugin. I was more the technical guy. I knew the problem. I knew how to solve it. We solved it. How do I market it? I just reached out to a friend who was in the space, and he helped me market it. And then we made a business arrangement, a partnership, and he helped me launch it. And that was the best decision I made because he had the right audience. And then we got a lot of exposure on releasing software, supporting software. We learned a lot. Right? It was difficult the first time you do it. Second time around, I was entering the podcasting space. And then I decided to be more of the marketing side. At that time, there was a few podcasting conferences. So I started going in-person conferences and joining the Facebook groups and put my name out there and connect with people. So people got to know who I was. I wasn't promoting anything. I was just connecting with the podcasters on different Facebook groups, met them in real life at real life conferences. So that really helped. Then to answer your question about Repurpose, because we had enough customers from all the different plugins over the 3 or 4 years, mm-hmm. when we launched Repurpose, we said, okay, new product. And we only advertised to our existing customers because they loved our products. They were paying customers and we only launched to them. To make sure that they were interested. And then once after that, it became word of mouth, a lot of word of mouth. People would talk about it. People would share, et cetera. So, but initially, if you have an audience, it's always good to start with just marketing to that audience that you know and have a relationship with.
And you gave like commissions, affiliate commissions.
Yeah, we have affiliate commissions. But also the first like 25 people, I think it was. Like we just said, we had like a one-time offer. We say we're looking for 25 people. And we were still building the software. If you want to pay, I forget, some money, then you get it like a lifetime. You get it forever. Like for being a beta customer, you get it forever. So, and that's what we did. And it went great. I met personally one-on-one with these people. And had, you know, 1 hour conversations, and I learned a lot, right? Because my vision was one thing. The software was very simple back then, actually. It was only did one thing. It just took audio to video and went to YouTube. That's all it did. That was the first version of Repurpose. Yes. No square, no vertical. It was just like audio to video. It was just very simple. But we learned a lot from talking to customers. We talked and talked and talked. And there were 25 of them. And then you learn, you know, what they want more, what else to focus on, et cetera. So it's very important to talk to your customers, especially early on. And whatever business you're in, software or consulting, coaching, doesn't matter.
And what was the method you got to your developers or developer?
What do you mean, sorry? Like how
like
I found
or via Upwork or freelancer.com?
It went through different processes. So initially it was Upwork for the WordPress plugins. And then once I found one person, we built a relationship, and then, you know, he was my main person. He's still there. He's still my main person to do all the updates, maintenance, new features. With Repurpose, because it was a different platform, initially I went to Upwork. And then we hired a company, and they did something, and I didn't like it. Like, it was just not, it wasn't how I envisioned the product to be. So we canceled the deal. I took the code and didn't do anything for 3 or 4 months. And then I forget, somebody referred me to somebody. I forget how I met the developer. And then we met, and I gave him the code. I said, can you make this work the way we wanted? And he made small changes. Okay. And then we started building a relationship. And now I think we're up to three developers on Repurpose now, almost full time. So it did start. I think it did start with Upwork initially. But it's about relationships, just like any business, right? Whether they're your customer, whether they're on your team, you want to treat people well, right? Treat your customers well, treat your team well, because it doesn't matter where they are in the world. It doesn't matter if it's a high paying customer or a low paying customer. To me, it's like everybody is a human being. Everybody deserves respect. And, you know, you do as whatever you can as a business, as a person to be respectful. And that's how you build good relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw in Twitter that you reached the milestone of 10,000 customers or something like that.
Yeah, we had 10,000 users. I mean, they're not all paying. So we had people who won. I think now we're up to, I think, close to 13,000. And we don't do active marketing. That's we don't. Besides, we do content. Even content, we're not as much as we used to do in the past. And then we have an affiliate program, of course, and that helps. But it's just a lot of word of mouth. Just people talking about it because they enjoy it. And we do monthly trainings every month. The past few months have been slow. We skipped a few months, but usually we do a monthly training for our customers, show them what's new, show them what's coming. So, yeah, we use our own content.
Maybe because the audience or your customers are like strong people in the market or content marketers, they promote it. They sneeze a lot.
Yeah, a lot of them, like you said, like they're coaches, right? So they teach their clients, hey, you want to automate some of your content? Here's a great tool. So it's not like one-to-one referral. It's one-to-many referral. So they refer to all their customers because they're teaching about Facebook bots. So they're teaching about this or that. Whatever they're teaching on, they help their clients by giving them more tools. Say, hey, here's a great tool. You want to start a podcast, but you don't want to create content? Take all your videos, turn them into audio. So here's a great tool that will do it for you. So they share all these tools, and that's how Repurpose kind of grew. And again, it's all relationships. We've got a lot of relationship with coaches and that are customers, and then we met with them and they said, oh, we love your tool. And then they invite me to their Facebook group. I do a demo. I teach about the product. So it's about having a good relationship with customers, and they help you. They help spread the word about your business.
Yeah, it's a great market to have, because they can become affiliates, or just because they like the tool, they promote you.
Yeah, you're right. Some people just promote. Like, they don't even know we have an affiliate program. So they just promote it because they love it and they feel it's a lot of time. So yeah, you're right. It's I do a lot of podcast interviews. I get in because of the nature of my customers. A lot of them are podcasters. At least half are podcasters. So a lot of people invite me to their show, and yes. You know, we talk about my story and stuff like that. So it's I'm kind of lucky in a way. It's kind of not a viral, but there's a component to my business is that yes. I'm in the content space, and then content creators need more content. So I get invited to teach or invited to give demos, or I get invited to do podcast interviews. So that also helps market the product as well.
Yes. And do you think you need to move into the SaaS, bringing customers as a SaaS business, like a great landing page or website, and then like free trials and all this onboarding in the platform? Do you think for you need to do that, or you have another yes. way of marketing?
No, that's very, very important. That's actually what we're focusing on in the past few months. We haven't launched anything, but we're focusing internally. Okay, what are our metrics? You know, what are we tracking? Trial to conversion, visitor to trial. You know, what are our numbers now? What areas should we focus on? So we're focusing on onboarding, and then we're also focusing on. I mean, the two major ones to us are when they come to your site, how many people click to become a free trial? How do we make that number more? And number two is how do we make the number of people who are on free trial have a great experience and convert them, educate them, make sure they're getting all the value out of the software, and let them know everything that's possible. And then how do we get them to convert to a paying customer? So those are the two areas we're focusing on internally, like more training, yeah. more better onboarding sequence, better in-app onboarding. There's so many ideas. But we're having these discussions now. It's funny because I wish we started this. I'm a very technical guy, so I was always like, let's build something awesome and let's just keep building more awesome features. And then, I know business is going well. Everything's going well. There's no need to think about this stuff. But then you start looking at the numbers, you're like, wow, really, we're missing a lot of opportunities here. A lot of people are coming in, but also a lot of people are not converting, or a lot of people are maybe they don't see the value, or maybe they don't even know about half the feature. So we're thinking a whole different way now of not just pump more features out. Let's focus on giving them a good experience, educating them throughout their trial, and also improving our homepage. We have a new design probably in a month or so. We'll launch a whole new website landing page. It's just a little more current. Ours is it's about 3.5, almost 4 years old now, and we haven't really changed it. I mean, we've tweaked it, but we haven't made a big change in almost 4 years. So we're definitely paying attention. You have to do that, because after a while you need to realize that you don't need to drive more users. You just need to convert more users and show them the value in your software so that you get a better percentage converting to a paid customer, and also staying yeah. longer too. That's the third area we've got to look at.
That tells you that you don't need like a great website at the beginning. Well,
yeah, it's true.
Or a great design or a great logo, or you just need to validate and solve the problem, right?
Exactly. That's something you need more data. You need more users on here, then you can get data, then you can improve. But in the beginning, don't get, I need to hire and pay $10,000 for a new website. No, let's just put it out there, get the message, and just get people visiting it, and let's, validate, right? You can't validate without data. So you need to, don't people make that mistake. Oh, let's design a logo. Oh, I don't like this logo. Let's change this. I don't like the homepage. Let's change it. It's like, yes. Put it out. get people to use your software, and then, or, you know, come to your site and see how they convert, start tracking people, and then decide if you need to change it or not.
Yes, it's very, a lot of people want perfection, and they mm-hmm. don't, they overanalyze, they get paralyzed, and they don't launch.
I mean, we're going through a website redesign now, everything, head to toe, the copy, the wording. But we've have almost 4 years of experience. We have a lot of testimonials. We know what people are saying. We know what words they like, what they don't like. We have a lot of customer support tickets. So we have data to make better decisions on what the homepage should look like, or what the focus should be. What words do we use? What do they like the most about software, et cetera. But you need data. But I've had a lot of people make jokes about me. Oh, your homepage doesn't look very good, or it looks outdated.
Yes.
I said, yeah, I know it's on our plan, but you know, it still converts people, and it's, you know, we still got the data, but that's why we're focusing on it now. But yeah, you're right. Don't stop your project, or don't stop from launching because your website is not perfect or as beautiful as you want it to be.
Yeah. Maybe the new redesign will attract better the people from, for example, Product Hunt. Or like more tech savvy that want to see like a startup website.
Yeah, like a modern startup. Yeah, but really, it's definitely. I know it's gonna help for sure. Like it's not even about the redesign. The look will be more fresh and more modern, of course. But also, like, what are we focusing on? Like, what's the journey? When you land on the first part of the page, does it make sense what our software does? Is it clear? So we're also changing a lot of the wording and how we describe our product in our new page. But we don't know this until you have a few years of data, or, you know, we have almost 4 years. I think we waited too long, but hey, it's better to do it now than never do it at all. But definitely don't do it too early. You don't have enough decisions or data to make decisions about what to change or what to say.
Exactly. So what are the most important passions outside of your work?
That's a great question. I mean, for me, family is always first. We have two daughters, and my wife and I, and now we have a new dog as well. So family is always first. Hobbies, it's weird. It's funny you asked, because I was talking to my wife like 6 months ago, and I was like, you know, I kept telling her, I don't have any hobbies. Like, my work is my hobby, and it's not very healthy. Like, yes. Whenever it's free time, I always think about, oh, what else can we do, or what else can we build in the future? I just, you know, write down ideas, but it's not healthy. So I'm still searching for a hobby. I love basketball. I used to play basketball a lot when I was younger. And then last year, my daughter, she showed interest in basketball. She was 10 years old. So we put her in a basketball league, and I became the coach. I've never coached before. So I coached her team, and I loved it. I was like, that was so fun. Something completely different from my business. Still helping people, and like seeing my daughter and all her friends like develop their skills. And I love basketball. So it was a perfect opportunity to do something completely different, but still really, really enjoy it. But yeah, I don't, besides that, I mean, we're trying to sign her up again. As soon as, you know, basketball leagues are open again, we'll sign her up again. And I definitely want to be the coach, but yeah, I'm still looking for that hobby. Like, I don't enjoy reading books too much. Actually, lately I've been watching a lot of documentaries. That's my way of disconnecting. I watch documentaries about weird things like homes or underwater. I've always been fascinated with underwater, like scuba diving and just the whole new world underwater. Yes. So yeah, it's very important to like do something completely not related to your work, like completely take your brain off of work. So
yes, that's I'm still interesting. Trying to And where can we follow you to ask you questions or get in touch with you?
Yeah, I'm on social media, Facebook, Twitter, mostly Facebook. But if you go to hannymora.com, it has a link to my Facebook, my Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff. So yeah, you can go to my website and check it out. You can also learn about different products we have as well. But yeah, I always say Facebook is for where I hang out the most.
Great. And this is the most important question and the last one. What are your last words to entrepreneurs that want to start a SaaS company for the Latin American market and for whatever market?
Start small. Better to start small than to have a big idea and then never execute it. That's the worst thing you can do. Start with a small idea, build it, validate it, and then expand on it and make it bigger and bigger.
Yeah, like you, that you started with from audio to YouTube, right?
Or to mm-hmm. video. Yeah, it was just one feature. It became two. And now I think we have like 30 different things you can do on our platform. But yeah, start small, validate, get feedback, talk to customers, see what's next, and then evolve as you go. Because you see a lot of stories about startups and they have all these features and products, but everybody starts small. Everybody starts with a small idea and then they evolve. And if you don't have a big team, definitely start small.
And even in the beginning, give lifetime prices.
Right. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I didn't tell my users that. I told them, hey, if you sign up now, you get six. I told them 6 months free. You pay one price, you get 6 months. And then I decided, hey, because they were my loyal customers from the beginning, I give it lifetime. You don't have to do a lifetime. You could do lifetime. You can experiment. But the idea is if you have an audience, definitely start small and then sell to them or offer them the solution. Okay, I built this tool. I mean, before you build anything, you need to find out what they want, right? So if you have an audience, talk to them before you build anything. And then once you know, okay, I'm going to build this solution and then build something small and then show it to them. Say, hey, I'm doing a webinar. Let me show you what we built so far. So that's right. You know, keep in contact, especially with customers who are already paying you or an audience that already trusts you and they follow you. So those are your best people to get feedback from. Not your parents, not your friends. It's people who follow you online. It's people who or have paid for your products or services in the past.
And what are your prices and where they can go to see your software or test it or whatever?
Yeah, we have a free trial. It's repurpose.io. And the prices start at $15 a month. We have, I think, three plans, $15 and $20. Then we have an agent plan for, I think, $100 a month. But for most people, if you're just doing podcasting, it's $15 a month. And if you're doing audio and video content, then it's $25 a month.
Okay. Those are good prices.
Yeah, it's you know, we've only increased our prices once since we launched, which is another whole story we can talk into. Most people are afraid to increase their prices, including myself. And but if you're not sure about pricing, my advice is start a little bit lower, attract the customers, and then increase your prices as you go along, as you add more features. But my opinion, anybody who's signed up with the old price, you should leave them at the old price. Yes. Because they're like your loyal customers that were there from the beginning. You lock them in those price, and then new customers will get a slightly higher price. So the pricing is a very difficult subject, but if you're not sure, my advice is always go on the lower side, and then it's easier to increase than to decrease. Because somebody finds out they signed up now and they're paying less than somebody who signed up last year, they're going to be upset. But if you're not sure, start low and then go high as you add more features or as you offer more value.
Yes. Thank you, Hani, for being in the Software Como Servicio podcast, and see you in the next one.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jorge. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Gracias por escuchar Software Como Servicio. Visítanos en innovapixel.com. Nos vemos en el siguiente podcast.